This is John Musgrave. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. If you like this content or like this episode, please click the like button or even subscribe. Thanks very much.
Looking at John chapter 10 this morning, we'll look at verses 2 through 4, 11, 16, and then our main text 22 through 42. So here we go, beginning in John chapter 10, verse 2. This is God's word, eternally true. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Look down now to verse 11. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Now verse 22. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I have said you are gods? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. What about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said, I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. But if I do it, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Again, they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. Here he stayed, and many people came to him. They said, though John never performed a miraculous sign, all that John said about this man was true. And in that place, many believed in Jesus. Here ends our reading. There's a response of thankfulness that's printed for you in your worship guide and up here. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks indeed. Let's pray. If you haven't guessed, I grew up in the 70s. And in the 70s, something went on. I doubt they do it today. Maybe they do it today in elementary schools. When you went to PE class, or gym, as we called it back then, you are often in different segments, learning different sports. Sometimes, you know, baseball or softball or field or hockey or basketball or wrestling or something like that. But when you're in any kind of team sport, what happened is that the gym teacher, the PE teacher, selected two captains, and the captains would come out from the group, and the two captains would then start picking teams. You know, so, you know, I take Philip and I take Ben and I take, you know, and back and forth, and one captain picks, and then the other captain picks, and it goes back and forth like this, of the captain picking a team for a particular sport. And if you weren't a captain when you were chosen, you left the pack of your teammates and walked over and stood behind your captain so that the two captains could see who was left. And so when my name was called, Musgrave, I was happy, and I went over and stood behind my captain. And if such an exchange were necessary, which it wasn't, my captain could have looked behind and said, "You know why you're standing here, don't you? It's because I chose you." I said, "Well, of course. You chose me, you called out my name, and I came, and I stood behind you. That's how choosing works." And if I were stupid or didn't understand what choosing meant, I would have said, "Well, you chose me because I went and stood behind you." And you said, "Oh, okay, I guess I've got you." We all know that's not how choosing works. Right? The captain, the one who's in charge, the one who's been given authority, chooses. And then those who are chosen then follow or associate themselves with the person who's chosen him. You were on Sean's team or Kevin's team. Those were good 70s names. Still good names, Kevin. There are a lot of Kevins and Pete's and Sean's and John's. Not so much anymore amongst the young. But as we talk about this morning, about who you are and about how you got here in the church, these things are important for us to see. They're things that Jesus teaches here in this passage, and as you saw from Paul in Ephesians 1 and from John and Jesus also in John 6, these things will encourage you, but also see who you are and how you got to be here. So if you like to fill out blanks in an outline, you're welcome to do that. If that helps you to follow along and to learn, educators say, and those who study education say, you know, writing things down helps us to learn things. And they've even done studies that writing down is better than typing on computer, but typing on computer is better than just listening. But some people are very audio. And so if that's the case for you, you can just listen, and that's fine, too. But first thing God says to us, and it's your number one here in the outline: know that you didn't become one of Christ's sheep. Know that you didn't become one of Christ's sheep because, or only after, because or only after you believed. But in contrast, know that you believed because you were, or you can write there, "I was," you were already one of Christ's sheep. We see this very clearly in the way Jesus puts things and through Scripture as well, but we don't always think about it when we read it. So what do we mean by this? That you didn't become one of Christ's sheep because you believed. Or you didn't come on Sean's team because you walked over there. That's not what determined you were on Sean's team. You're walking over there. You walked over there because Sean said, "You're on my team. You're one of my sheep. You're one of my players. And that's why you came." So let's talk about this now. A. Jesus makes very clear, and he says it in John 6 a number of times, a number of ways, and we can see it in other places of Scripture as well. No one can, C-A-N, no one can, or to get at the meaning of this word, no one has the ability to, no one can, so that's your A, no one can or has the ability to come to Jesus unless the Father, out of mercy, and not because of a person being better than others, because the Father enables him to do so. No one can or has the ability to come to Jesus unless the Father enables him to do so. And so if you want to, you know, we're kind of going to be going back a lot between chapter 6 and chapter 10. So if you want to put your finger or your pen or your, something there on chapter 6, you're welcome to do that. But 6:44, Jesus is very clear. There's no misinterpreting Jesus here. He's not saying it in a vague or mysterious way. He says it simply, and he's explaining disbelief as he's in the midst of a crowd in John 6. He says this, John 6:44, no one can, not no one does, no one can. If you like Greek, it's the Greek dynamite, dunamis, dunamai is the verb. No one can, no one has the ability to. Like me in dunking, without a trampoline, I have no ability. I cannot dunk. Unless there's a trampoline, and then I'll probably break my teeth on the backboard because I misjumped. He says, John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So how does someone come to Jesus? No one can unless the Father draws him. Or he repeats it a few verses later in chapter 6, verse 65. He says it again in this way. Jesus went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. That's really clear. You got to do some serious gymnastics to get around that. And in fact, I contend you can't do gymnastics to get around those two verses. You have to cut those verses out of Scripture like Thomas Jefferson cut out the miracles, in the Gospels. You know that, right? If you go up to Monticello, you can see Thomas Jefferson's Bible, and he was a deist, and he cut out all the miracles from the Gospels. He's still okay in some ways. But here we see that no one can come to Jesus without the Father enabling him to come to Jesus. Now also, Scripture teaches something else. Scripture teaches something else, that many don't believe. And this is one of those duh statements, right? We know it in our own age, but it was true in Jesus' day too. And Jesus was doing miracles in front of people's eyes, and many still did not believe. So many don't believe, and these are those the Father has then, 1 + 1 = 2, these are those the Father has not enabled to come to Jesus. Okay, not a whole lot of math, not a whole lot of logic required there, just a little, but it's logical. Someone doesn't believe, they haven't been enabled to come to Jesus. So that's we can see this in 25 and 26 that this is the case. Most here, the Jews don't believe. Jesus teaches that this is because no one can unless the Father draws him, unless the Father enables him. So we note that those who believe are not being forced to do so. Those who don't believe are not being forced not to believe. Everyone's doing what they want to do. And if you have legs and a mouth and a nose that can smell and eyes that can see and you're hungry and you see a buffet before you, guess what you want to do? Walk forward and eat from the buffet. But if you don't have legs and arms and a nose and eyes to see, you won't walk forward because you don't want it. You can't see it. People are doing exactly what they want to do. God's not forcing anybody. He enables some to believe, but who doesn't believe who has been who has eyes to see that Jesus and Jesus alone gives eternal life? So, many don't believe, and those who don't believe have not been enabled to believe. Then see, the Father selected you. We see from Scripture the Father selected you. If you've believed, the Father selected you to be one of Christ's sheep before you were born. Now, we can see this easily from what Jim read to us from Ephesians 1:4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Okay? This is like, to use the gym class illustration, this is like the captain of the team before he goes to gym class saying, we're in the kickball unit. If I get selected as captain today, I'm picking Pete because he's the best kickball player. Okay? And that was decided before you went out to gym class, before you went out on the field. But Scripture tells us that God chose you before the creation of the world. Guess what? That's before you were born. Guess what? That's before you had faith in Jesus. Right? You didn't have faith in Jesus before the creation of the world. I know that for a fact. You can laugh. I'm not that old. The Father selected you to be one of Christ's sheep before you were born. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. 44 references in the New Testament about election, about predestination, and all that kind of thing. And if you don't want to believe that, you've got to cancel out 44 verses in the New Testament about God choosing you before you chose him. Okay? So do you want to be a Christian? Do you want to be a Bible lover? Or do you want to invent your own religion and pull out the verses that you don't like? Are you going to be over Scripture and determine what Scripture can say to you? Or are you going to be under Scripture and hear what God says to you? And that's the decision we all face. I love how R.C. Sproul puts it. I hated the doctrine of election until I understood it. Then I loved it. Because it meant God loved me before the creation of the world. And we'll talk about some more reasons why we love it as we go down here. Peter says the same thing. We saw it in 1 Peter 1, chapter 2. You have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. God the Father knew you, selected you to be one of Christ's sheep. So note here, Scripture teaches this. Scripture is quite clear on the matter. This is not something crazy and cruel John Calvin thought up in his head. John Calvin wasn't inventing things. He was saying, you know what? Only if I want to say these things in Scripture aren't true can I say election doesn't exist. So he says, this is what we go with, because God declares this in Scripture. You can't get any more clear than for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Unless you want to say, no, he didn't. And we don't want to say that. So this is not merely a Calvinistic doctrine. It's a biblical doctrine. Right? This is not an interpretation of Scripture. This is just reading Scripture. You were chosen before the creation of the world. So, D, this means something to us in terms of Jesus coming to the earth. It means this, D, Jesus knew you as one of his sheep before you came to follow him as your shepherd and to be part of his flock. John 10, verse 3. Look at verse 3 there in chapter 10. Jesus says that the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Remember the picture. This is Jesus coming into, so that the Father is the gatekeeper. And he brings Jesus into the world. And Jesus is the shepherd. And Jesus, what's he say here? Verse 3. He calls his own sheep out. So there's this big pen that's the world. And it's everyone who lives in the world. And Jesus sees his sheep and he says, you know, Rachel, I'm taking you. Rob, I'm taking you. Susan, I'm taking you. Because Jesus knew his sheep. Makes sense, right? The Father had chosen his sheep before the creation of the world. Jesus said, you know, the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So we ask, who is he calling lead out? His sheep. He knows who they are and calls them out and he leads them out of the kingdom of the world to follow him, to be members of his flock. Verse 16, same thing. Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. Jesus knows who his sheep are. He knows them by name. He says, I must bring them also. Jesus knew who were yet to come to him, and he would and has and will bring all the sheep into his pen. Verse 27, John 10, 27. Jesus says of his still unbelieving sheep, I know them. You see that there in verse 27? I know them. And he's talking about those who haven't believed yet. It's those the Father has chosen. He knows his sheep, those the Father has chosen. So, in other words, D1, in other words, the sheep the Father had to give to Jesus were a set group. They were a set group whom Jesus knew and for whom Jesus came to die. So, verse 37 of chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 37. Jesus speaks of all the Father has given me. Who is the Father giving to Jesus? The sheep he selected before the foundation of the world. Here, Jesus, I've got this guy, I've got this woman, I've got this person, I've got this boy, this girl. I'm giving them to you to be citizens of your kingdom. Recollecting Psalm 2 in this. So this was a set group, that Jesus has, that Jesus, for whom Jesus comes to die. Jesus tells us that it's a good shepherd. He would lay his life down for whom? The sheep. Not for everybody. I will lay my life down for my sheep. Jesus came to die for you. You weren't born yet. Your parents weren't born yet. Your parents hadn't decided on a name for you yet. But Jesus knew you. He knew when you would be born. He knew who your parents were. And he would have done a better genealogical job than Ancestry.com, because he knew all the people leading down to you. And he knew. And he came to die for his sheep. The good shepherd dies, lays his life down for the sheep. 10:11, that's where that is, 10:11. He lays his life down for the sheep, and he comes to save the wolves from Satan and death. Matthew 1:21 puts it this way. Joseph is being talked to, and he's found out that his fiancée, Mary, is with child. And an angel of the Lord comes to Joseph and says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, for what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. You shall give him the name Jesus, and he will, because you shall give him the name Jesus, because he will save, you know what's next? His people from their sins. This is the sheep. God sends Jesus into the world to save the sheep, those he would give to Jesus. This is Jesus knowing who the sheep were. He's coming to die for and save the sheep, even before he's incarnated in the womb of Mary. As good shepherd, he lays his life down for the sheep. Here's the good news. That's you. Before Jesus came to the earth, he knew you, and he came to die for you. This means that you haven't walked up behind him. Okay, gym class. You haven't walked up behind him, and he said, oh, you? Okay, whatever. This means he knew you. He knew you by name. That's what he says here in John 10. I know my sheep by name. And I lay my life down for my sheep. This was in Jesus' future as he's speaking of it. He comes to the earth to die for you. And as Peter says in 1 Peter 2:24, He bore our sins. Peter's talking to Christians in his day. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. Jesus, when he died on the cross, was dying with your particular sins from birth to death, all in his body on the cross, none of which you had committed yet. But he came to die for those sins. He came to die for you. And Hebrews 2 says it was for the joy set before him that he went to the cross, though he despised the shame of it. So if you have trouble sometimes with the idea that God can love you, think about this. Jesus left heaven and came to earth for you. Not just for a potential people who might believe in him, but those the Father chose before the foundation of the world, whom he would enable to come to faith and give to Jesus, who were the sheep that Jesus knew by name and called out of that pen of the world that we've been in and that we live in and amongst today when we're not sitting in these seats or in another church. Now, number two. So Jesus knew you as one of his sheep before you came to follow him as your shepherd and king. Number two, Jesus called and through the spreading of the gospel has and will continue to call to himself, or in the words of this passage here, to speak to, in order to draw out of the world, in order to draw out of the kingdom of darkness, all the sheep the Father has given to him. So look at 10:3. So those words are, again, Jesus called it through the spreading of the gospel, will continue to speak to and draw out of the world all the sheep the Father has given to him. So John 10:3, he is the shepherd that the watchman, the Father, sends into the general sheep pen of the world. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. You've been led out. You're led out. You're in the church. This means that you are his sheep. You are his own sheep that he knew by name. He called you out by name and led you into the church. He knew who you were when you were in your disbelief, before you believed. He knew your name and he got the gospel to you and spoke through the gospel, worked by his Spirit to lead you out of the kingdom of the world and to transform you from the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light, right? Colossians 1:12. Okay. John 10:16, Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. So Jesus knows his sheep. He knew there were others still to come. But when Jesus calls the sheep the Father gives to him, it's effectual. We looked at effectual calling this morning in our declaration of what we believe. It's effectual. When Jesus calls it, you know, when Jesus calls one of his sheep who he knows by name to himself, it's effectual. It has an effect. So number three, his sheep always know and hear his voice. Jesus makes a big deal about this in this passage in John 10. His sheep always know and hear his voice. They listen, and they, next blank, they respond. They respond. They listen, they hear, they listen, they respond, they turn, and they follow him out. So here are those blanks. And sheep always know and hear his voice. Listen, respond, turn, and follow him out of the kingdom of the world and into his flock, the church. So here's the deal. You were born. You were selected by the Father to be one of the sheep of Jesus, one of the people that Jesus would give, John 6:39, that the Father would give to Jesus and that he would never drive away. So you were determined to be one of Christ's sheep. But if you were not growing up in a believing home, you had not joined the flock yet. But when you believe, you join the flock. But you were a sheep before. Just Jesus went into the pen and grabbed you out. He called you by name to come out. And when he called you by name, when he got the gospel preached to you, that was Jesus' voice speaking to you, saying, come, follow me. And you listened and you turned and you came out from the world. You believed, and you became a member of his flock, the church. This is effectual calling, as we see in our confessing our faith this morning. So John 10:3, the watchman opens the door for the shepherd, and the sheep listen to his voice. Those who aren't sheep don't listen. Those are those who hear the gospel and don't believe. But the sheep listen. This means if you listened, you were a sheep. Get that? That's the before after thing. Those who aren't sheep, those who are goats, don't listen. If you have come out, if you listened, that meant you were a sheep chosen before the foundation of the world. That's what John Calvin talks about, the comforting essence of the doctrinal election. If you believe, that doesn't mean you're happenstance here. That means God chose to show his mercy to you, that he loved you before the foundation of the world. John 10:16. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. They too will listen. Sheep listen. If you're not one of Christ's sheep, you don't listen. If you're here, if you're in the church, if you believe, that meant you listened. That meant you were one of the sheep. John 10:27. Again, my sheep listen to my voice. Now get the context of this. Jesus is speaking in the midst of most people not believing and against the Jews picking up stones. And he's explaining why some people believe and why some people don't. And he says, well, if someone's my sheep, they listen to me and they come out and they're not picking up stones. But if they're not my sheep, if they're not those the Father has given to me, if they're not those the Father predestined before the foundation of the world, then they don't listen. And then they pick up stones. And then they say, oh, I don't believe that stuff. That's all just make-believe. So that's 10:27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. John 6:37, chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. That's another way of saying my sheep listen to my voice. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Why? Because they hear and they listen. John 6:45. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. Everyone who listens. So sheep, listen. If you've listened, that means you're a sheep from before the foundation of the world. It explained who believed in Jesus when Jesus was on the ground 2,000 years ago. It explains who listens and believes in Jesus now. It's a question of whether you or anybody is one of Christ's sheep. And Christ's sheep listen to his voice. And they follow him out of the world and join his flock. Now, E. And this connects up A through C. God the Father chose you to be one of Christ's sheep before the foundation of the world, but you did not have the ability to come to Jesus. Okay, so the Father chose you, but you didn't have the ability to come to Jesus. Remember, Jesus says, no one comes to me unless the Father draws him. Well, who's the Father going to draw? Those he selected, right? So because, here are your blanks now, because the Father chose you to be one of Jesus' sheep, because the Father chose you to be one of Jesus' sheep, and you didn't have the ability to come to him, the Father, he gave you spiritual birth. He gave you spiritual birth and life, enabling you to see, to understand the gospel, to come to Jesus and believe. So John 3, Jesus is talking with Nicodemus, and Nicodemus says, I don't understand. And Jesus says, it's because you're spiritually blind. You've not been enabled to see. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's been born again. So that's your problem, Nicodemus. You haven't been born again. You haven't been enabled. You're still spiritually dead. You haven't been enabled to see. And then Jesus talks in verses 5 through 8 of chapter 3 about how that happens. The Spirit blows upon a person, and a person's enabled to see. and they follow. They're born again or born from above. Or with the parable of the sower, for instance, Mark 4:9, Jesus says this familiar phrase that he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." In other words, whoever's been enabled to listen, to hear this. Jesus, again, teaching that, you know, once you see this, you see it all over Scripture. But Jesus teaching here that those he spoke to, not all were listening, not all were hearing. And so he says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. That drawing is enabling. That enabling is that spiritual birth, that birth by the Spirit that opens eyes, that opens ears, that changes hearts. John 6:65, Jesus saying, that's why I told you that no one can come to the Father unless the Father has enabled him. So you were enabled. So Jesus says, John 10:3, the sheep listen to his voice. You've been enabled to hear, and so you listen to his voice. 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So this is what it means that the Father has enabled you. He gave you spiritual birth. He blew upon you by his Spirit so that you had spiritual sight. So you became one of those people who had ears to hear and eyes to see. So, number one here, this means that the Father acted first in your salvation. The Father's not a responder, you are. I did not initiate my salvation. I did not initiate my belief. I did not initiate my ability to hear. I didn't make myself hear, I didn't make myself see. That's like the blind man in chapter 9 saying, no thanks, Jesus, I'll take care of it myself. No, Jesus approaches him, puts the mud on his eyes and says, go and wash. God was the initiator in your salvation. And that's what it means that salvation is by grace. You have not bound God in contractual obligation to take you into heaven when you die and into the new heavens and new earth when Jesus comes back because you believed and God says, well, okay, you're standing behind me, I guess. But God says, Bob, you're on my team. Get behind me. Bob, you've just been promoted to best kickball player in fourth grade. There you go. But this means the Father has acted first in your salvation. You did not act first. He acted first, both in the choosing of you to be one of Christ's sheep, and then in the enabling you to listen, to hear. Double. You come along third, don't you? You were chosen to be a sheep. So you're a sheep. You know, I came to faith when I was 13, almost 14. So for 13 years, I was a sheep and I didn't know it. And I wasn't hearing. I wasn't enabled. I was in churches and I heard Jesus died for your sins. Didn't get it. Didn't understand. Not enabled. No eyes to see. Deaf to hear it. And then the gospel was proclaimed to me at the end of, you know, my 13th year. And he gave me eyes to see. But this was because I was already a sheep. He just enabled me then. And when he enabled me, I listened and I heard and I followed. We'll sing, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain," at the end of our time here. You know, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound by sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I woke, went forth, and followed me. God enabled me. Thine eye diffused, here's how the song puts it, thine eye diffused a quickening ray. Quickening is the old King James way of saying he gave you life. He gives you life and all of a sudden you say, this place is on fire. I didn't know it before. I was just sleeping. And I woke up and I saw my bedroom has flames in it. I'm going to dive out the window. The Morgan Door for you Chuck fans. So God acted first. This is how John puts it in 1 John 4:19. We loved because he first loved us. We didn't first love him, and then he said, okay, well, I guess I'll love you because you've loved me. Tit for tat, gospel by works. No, we love him because he first loved us. Number two, it means that the Father, not you, or you can put in there I, means that the Father, not you, was the cause of your faith. We read it this morning in our Declaration of the Gospel and call to worship. Blessed be the God and Father, 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. He caused us to be born again. Why? Because he chose us to be Christ's sheep. So he caused us to be born again, and he gave us spiritual birth. So in summary, and we'll end with this morning. We'll hit point two next week. In summary, you were selected. You were selected by the Father, and I give you permission to feel warm and fuzzy. You should feel warm and fuzzy here. Okay? You were selected by the Father. He said, I want you. You're on my team. You're a sheep for my shepherd whom I'm letting into the earth to rescue some sheep. You were selected by the Father to be one of Jesus' sheep before you believed, before the foundation of the world. And Jesus comes into the world to start gathering his sheep, doesn't he? You and you and you. Gathers them, speaks, and they listen. And because of this, that's your blank, because you were one of Christ's sheep, one of the sheep the Father had determined to give to Jesus, you were enabled to hear Jesus call to you in the gospel message. You were enabled to hear Jesus' voice, to hear him speaking in the gospel message. And you, next blank, listened. You listened to Jesus' voice, which is what sheep do. Sheep listen. If you're not listening, you're not a sheep. That's what Jesus establishes here in this chapter. You listened to Jesus' voice, the gospel message. You understood it. You believed in Jesus, which is what Jesus is explaining here. Who believes and who doesn't? If you're a sheep, you listen and you believe. If you're not, you don't. You believed in Jesus and you began to follow him. You began to follow him, becoming part of his flock. So in the gym class, Jesus was your captain because he's the best at whatever sport, right? We had an associate pastor in Orlando who said he and his brother used to like pick teams, like, and they were baseball fans. He was from Pittsburgh, and they were Pirates fans. And so they'd pick fans in like a 1960s version of fantasy baseball, I guess. But one of them, they grew up in a Christian home. One of them would say, well, I picked Jesus. And the other one would say, oh, no fair, because he's the best. But Jesus was your captain. He called your name. You heard your name being called. You left the group. And you got behind him. That's what's happened to you. Rejoice. Let's pray.